Today, the topic I want to talk about is needs, wants, and interests. Needs are those things that are fundamental to being alive and staying alive. Air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, clothing, shelter, and adequate movement and sufficient rest are needs. On a regular basis, I use two forms of structure to describe specific needs. Sfuli plus two, S-F-U-L-I plus two, and the four driving needs of the ego, as explained in Christ Returns, reveal startling truth. Survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, the need to be right, and the need to look good, get approval, are the needs in the first structure. The second structure is the ego's four driving needs. The first need is to defend the self from criticism, emotional, physical attack. And it's easy enough to see this as important to survival, love, identity, the need to be right, and the need to look good, get approval. Because to be criticized and attacked would be contrary to that. The second driving need is the need to come in first in a race of life, despite the opposition from other people. This need is related to survival, freedom, love, identity, the need to be right, and the need to look good, get approval. The third driving need is to take the best for the self despite the opposition of others. Again, this is connected to our need for survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, the need to be right, and the need to look good, get approval. And the same is true for the fourth driving need, to hold on to our possessions, whether those possessions are money, property, status, power, influence, family, friends, and so on, despite the opposition and competition from others. You could say that needs are hardwired or factory installed in human consciousness. These needs are active in all of us, although they can be managed by the more aware, disciplined among us. Unmanaged needs lead to excess, and this can be harmful. Acting on a need without considering other factors or other people is the main problem with unmanaged needs. What need does a person have for 5,000 calories or more of food every day? What does a person need with hundreds of pairs of shoes? When you look at illness in the United States, you will see a lot of out-of-control needs wrecking lives. Alcoholism and other drug addictions, obesity, sedentary lifestyles are killing people. We need comfort. Without mental, emotional, physical comfort, our bodies would break down from the uninterrupted stress. The concept of rhythm pertains to most things in life, including comfort and discomfort. Constant, unending comfort would result in a weak person. Weak physically, weak emotionally, and weak mentally. Unrelenting discomfort would distort a person physically, emotionally, and mentally. We have relationships with comfort and with discomfort, with convenience and with inconvenience, with gratification and lack of gratification. Upon deep investigation, it will become obvious that how we think about these relationships is the most important factor. How much comfort, convenience, and gratification do we really need? Much less than we tell ourselves. I think comfort could be viewed as pre-growth phase in life. We definitely need to grow, so being fixated on being comfortable could be seen as an anti-growth strategy. Maybe it works this way. First, we're in the pre-growth phase of we're comfortable. Then we start to reach out, do things uncomfortable, which requires us to grow on different levels. And in this process, we draw on our own resources, sometimes resources we didn't know we had, and we draw on the resources from the divine and perhaps help from other people. After the growth phase, we have a post-growth phase in which we consolidate what we learned from those energy exchange experiences, what they mean, the additional strengths and deficiencies in our own identity, and we settle temporarily back into comfort. And then we repeat that process again and again. When a tree is cut down, particularly an older tree, and the growth rings, you know, those indicators of the annual growth of that tree are revealed, there's no way for us to know if the stretching that the tree goes through is uncomfortable. Because it is natural, perhaps trees and plants and other animals, unlike humans, just do it without mental and emotional resistance. If we are comfortable with the current situation, there's little motivation to change. In fact, change to a comfortable situation could be perceived as risky, as threatening. What if I make things worse instead of better? Could be the concern. Wants are different than needs. While we imagine needs as pre-programmed energetic patterns in living beings, wants are magnetic bonding rejecting impulses based upon perceived images or energy patterns that we want to acquire, that is, we want to bond with them, or we don't want to acquire them, which means we want to reject them, we want to push them away. Advertising is sets of images designed to make people want to bond with products and services in order to reject other energy patterns. Weight loss programs are an example. Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, and others want us to reject our body weight as it currently is, and then bond with their programs, products, and procedures. You can view all the TV advertising with these questions. What do they want me to reject, and what do they want me to bond with? By doing this, you'll become aware of how you are being leveraged and manipulated, and that awareness can make you safer so that you can make your own decisions instead of being led through a ring in your nose, metaphorically, to buy whatever it is they're selling on TV. An interesting aspect of wants is the, I want to see if I can do that. In this case, we receive an image of some challenge and we become excited to know if we can do this too. This characteristic can be wonderful, and it can be horrible. When we see what we interpret as a positive achievement and take inspiration from it, we can benefit tremendously. Marathoners, mountain climbers, business creators, and many more examples are available to us of people who have received an image and then take on this attitude of, I want to see if I can do this. However, copycat killers, bombers, shooters, abusers, and others are negatively inspired. The idea that one teenager committing suicide can spur multiple suicides in the same vicinity is a well-known and feared phenomenon. A person doesn't have to be very old before this impulse to grab what is wanted and push away what is not wanted start to show up. People with little or no control over their impulses are considered to be immature. An immature person has an impulse driven by ego and emotion, takes action, and then uses mental energy trying to justify their action. I had to. Oh, it was there. I don't know. And all kinds of excuse making. On the other hand, a mature person makes a decision about what is desired, what the goal is, takes action to progress toward the manifestation of that decision or that goal, and uses their emotions to support the continuation of the actions or to adjust the actions necessary in order to make progress toward it. Young children demonstrate the very human impulse to want something and then taking action to get it. Asking, pleading, crying, tantrums, grabbing, and stealing are predictable behaviors. Because they want it, they should have it, goes the child's reasoning. And it is very simple to them. If we add in the egoic influence on our wants, they can become very powerful influences of our behaviors. To disentangle from the strings of control in the webs of our systems of wants, we need to be aware of the whys. Why do we want what we want? What payoff, what reward do we think we will get by wanting what we want? If we pursue these answers by asking these questions 5 times, why, and then again, and then what will that get us, and why, and what will that get us, and why, and what will that get us, and why, a total of 5 times, we are likely to get to the true why. Along with the true why, we would also likely get the awareness that what we really want is attainable in other ways, and not just through material objects. Because I believe in divine consciousness is working for us, in us, and through us, it makes sense to me to align our wants with the divine intentions of growth on every level, nutrition and nourishment on every level, healing and repair on every level, protection and fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and all of that being under the governance of the law of cause and effect. And then on a more elevated level, we can recognize, you know what? I want to help other people achieve the same thing. I want to support their connection to the divine intentions. A change to our awareness that is supposed to happen as we mature is the importance and understanding and respecting the needs and wants of interests of other people on the same level of us is equal to us. This balancing can lead to previously unknown levels of happiness. It seems to be factual that people who relate the best to others in helpful, supportive ways are the happiest people. Not those that are isolated, not those that are only concerned with themselves, but those that are connected and eager to help support other people's attainment of happiness and development of awareness. It's okay to want. In fact, it would be wonderful to want as long as you can stay open to your want being fulfilled and you realize others also want the same things with the same intensity as you do. We're not unique in our wanting, in our needs, and our interests. When our wants exclude others' satisfaction, safety, and comfort, we are setting ourselves up for conflicts. Let me talk about interests. It's good to be interested, to have interest, and to do things that interest you. When you put your attention on something that interests you, you are extending your energy outward to that interesting object or person or idea. This is a requirement for growth. People who are not curious are at a distinct disadvantage in life because they are not expanding their comfort zone. They are limited their personal growth. They are not increasing their mental, emotional, and physical peace with an ever-changing world and its myriad situations. I think the statement, "You are either growing or dying," is true. Energy wants to move, and it is healthy. There's a story told in mediation training about 3 sisters who were squabbling over a lemon that had fallen off their father's tree. All 3 women wanted that lemon. And they were battling, and they couldn't resolve it. And their father was not available to settle the dispute. So they brought in a mediator. The mediator pointed out that they had no legal right to this lemon. And so we questioned them. What is your interest in this lemon? One sister said she wanted the rind because she needed zest for a recipe that she was working on for a party she was holding that night. The other sister said she was making lemonade for a friend who was coming this afternoon and she needed the juice of that lemon. And the third sister said she wanted to grow her own lemon tree so she could supply herself with lemons as much as she wanted. So she wanted the seeds from that lemon. They all had distinct and separate interests in that lemon. They were not identical. And when they realized their separate interests did not exclude their two sisters from having their interest, the problem was resolved. Our interests are not mutually exclusive, and becoming aware of that makes mediation and harmony in relationships possible. If we consider greed and generosity as interest, we know the difference in focus in relation to other people. Ostensibly, both traits are connected to good feelings. I will feel better if I take more and more. And the other point of view would be, I will feel better if I help others with my money, with my time, and with my efforts to achieve what they are interested in. You and I have needs, wants, and interests. They're essential to our lives. They're necessary, and they can be good for us and for others. What makes them good or not so good is how we approach satisfying them. There are plenty of examples of people acting for only their own concerns without regard for others. The good, the effectiveness that normal people seek are available to all of us. In letter 9, this quote gives us advice on how to attain our goals. Attunement with divine consciousness and total self-mastery should be your reason for living and your only goal. When you have achieved it, all you have ever wanted for yourself will be yours in a new, transcendent, an eternal way. The main challenges for us as human beings is to recognize the most effective ways to live. The primitive parts of our thinking lead us to use primitive fight-and-flight strategies. Brute force is promoted by brutes as the best and the only way to get what you want. If you read anything about the newly hired John Bolton into the Trump administration, you will have a view of a horrible, primitive brute. In coaching conversations over the years, I have referred to divine consciousness as the superstore. Why would you go anywhere other than the superstore? Was my question that I would weave into that conversation. As an Amazon Prime customer, I know that in just a few minutes, I can go online, search for items I want, place an order, and in a couple of days, what I ordered will be delivered to my doorstep. I'm required to open my door, to pick up the package, bring it inside, and open it. I don't doubt the process. I trust it. And I expect delivery. Divine consciousness works the same way, but better. It does require that I and you decide on what we want in the way of growth on any level and every level, nutrition or nourishment or healing or repair or protection or fulfillment of need or work or survival. And we trust the process, have faith in it, and expect delivery and being open to receiving. Open our hearts and our minds, and take in the consciousness of what we have wanted as it is being delivered to us, and let it affect our bodies, our minds, and our overall consciousness and the way we relate not only to ourselves and to others, but to the world. The same reliance on divine consciousness can be placed regarding the need to defend the self, to be and do the best as a person that we can, to achieve the best rewards possible, and to maintain the feelings connected to those rewards. It's not the item, the material object, that is so important. It is the energy patterns that we attribute to those items that we really want. we can rely on divine support to ensure our survival, our freedom, our usefulness, our love, our identity, our need to be effective, more than just our need to be binarily right and to avoid binarily being wrong, and the positive need to look good, get approval. And all this support is promised to us in this prayer. And this prayer is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 from Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. If you think you have a need or a want or an interest, listen to how it can be satisfied through divine support. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.